This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's a Wednesday. That means the Steelers back on the practice field today.
Yeah.
Getting ready to play the Bengals. And Matt, we talked to Ben Roethlisberger this morning. He says he's going to do everything he can to play. I expect him to play this week.
There's got to be some discomfort, though.
It'll be a pain tolerance thing. Maybe they'll be able to numb it up a little bit, so it's not as painful as possible. And he said, we asked, do you know when it happened in the game? He says, I know it happened early, but I couldn't tell you the exact play or anything. Once you get out there and the juices are flowing. Things, you don't notice that kind of stuff.
And some of those things can be gradual, too. Like, it's a strain, and then you strain a little more, and you strain a little more, and then you sit down like, oh, this kind of hurts. And, it doesn't sound super serious, but, I'm also not the one taking hits and throwing a big, heavy football, too. But, probably is a discomfort.
Taking 10 hits as he did on Sunday.
Right.
I actually went down back and looked over the first two games at his throws.
Okay.
And what he has done thus far. They didn't attempt any passes over 20 yards down the field in the first game.
I do think there was one that was called back.
It was called back. There was
something.
A hold, yeah.
So at least there was an attempt.
A shot,
it's not many.
Against the Raiders, he went deep, 20-plus yards down the field, 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Completed 2 of them for 93 yards. Now, you might say, well, why do you keep doing it if you're not completing it? Both the completions led to touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they need to generate big plays any way they can. Yeah, right.
But both or all 8 of those throws were once again down the sidelines.
Yeah, they're all the same areas. Yeah. Last year was a lot down the right.
It was 2 for 5 down the left side of the line and 0 for 3 down the right sideline, which kind of carries over what we saw last year.
Again, a lot of it. We know about the short passing game. There's not much of an intermediate one, and the deep shots are always go routes down the sidelines. I mean, people know this stuff now.
Yeah. I will say this. He's been better at the between the 10 and 20-yard passes.
He has.
He's been hitting.
His numbers are a little better.
He's been hitting those, and if you look at those, he's 9 of 15 for 152 yards. That's a passer rating of 116.5. Mm-hmm. That's his highest passer rating on any of the throws. You need more of those,
needs to happen more.
And they need to attack the middle of the field more. They've only hit one pass play of more than 20 yards down the field over the middle. That was the Freiermuth in week one, and it was a 19-yard pass, and then Freiermuth got the extra gain on it.
The weapons
to be
are there.
Yeah,
I really do believe that. I mean. Claypool down the sidelines makes perfect sense. Maybe Washington down the sidelines makes perfect sense. That doesn't mean they can't run deep posts or crossers or things like that as well. I really believe Johnson can attack all levels of the field well. Not expert, not the best in the league, but well.
If you're going to sit on, he's been largely underneath anyway, so if you're going to sit on that, he's going to beat you off the line of scrimmage and now he's open.
I mean, run a sluggo with him, a slant and go,
or
you know what I mean? Something more along those lines. Juju, I think, can be instrumental in this because he's asked to do the same things a lot, and they're nice little 3-yard gains, 4-yard gains, get off the line, turn around, boom. Great. That's an efficient little play.
Try to get some run off after the catch.
Him going up the middle out of the seam is pretty enticing, too.
Fake the short route and then go.
I mean, that button hook thing and then flip around and go upfield or whatever. Or in breaking, crossing routes from the slot, So
I can remember.
He's strong.
I can remember the first time they did this. It was a long time. It was when they still had Heath Miller. They run that wide receiver screen all the time. Like early in maybe Todd Haley's first or second year, sometime in the middle of the season. They run that wide receiver screen. Everybody starts to bite on the wide receiver screen. And then they fake the wide receiver screen, and they leak Heath Miller down the field, and he's wide open for like a 25-yard gain because nobody went with him. They thought he was going out to block.
I mean, it's a little gimmicky. You can't hang your hat on the plays like that time and time again.
But when you're struggling to hit chunk plays.
Exactly. I mean, if you're becoming predictable, use that to your advantage. And, you mentioned Freiermuth. I mean, Freiermuth and Ebron are perfect for attacking the middle of the field. I mean, they both run well. They're both good after the catch. ball skills, route runners, you know, and Najee, you know. So, yeah. I mean, they got plenty of dudes. That's not the problem to me.
Yeah, I think that's the key is getting Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth more involved in the passing game. And we did see that last week. Roethlisberger was 9 for 9 targeting those guys.
Okay. So that adds up. Yeah.
You know, Harris caught all 5 of his passes, including the 25-yard touchdown catch. That should, like, set the bells and whistles off right there. Like,
right.
We got him matched up on a linebacker, threw him the football. Actually, I think it was a safety. Threw him the football.
It was a safety.
He broke a tackle.
Or one of those guys, yeah.
Broke a tackle and scored.
Yeah, like, right.
That's there all the time.
I mean, safeties are better cover guys for running backs than linebacker. I mean, I'm breaking news here. But he's going to run over a lot of those guys.
Right.
You know, before
he shook him off like he wasn't even there.
Right. You know, before we went on the air, we were watching some of this Seahawks-Titans game. Now, Derrick Henry's not a good receiver. He's not a route runner. But if you get him on the flat, they actually caught 6 balls this week because they get him on the flat. They
had
dump
to be a career high.
Oh, it's definitely a career high. But he's going to run over defensive backs.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't even have to be open. I mean, it's an easy throw. Harris is capable of a lot more. I mean, Harris at full speed is not the same as Derrick Henry at full speed, but no one is. But still, I mean, easy throws to the flats, and then even to that point, start running more receiver routes with Harris because he's capable.
Yeah, for sure. Steelers practice report today. Ben Roethlisberger did not practice with the pectoral.
Not injury. Atypical. Not a on a Wednesday,
he wouldn't
though,
have practiced anyways. Deontay Johnson did not practice.
Okay.
Joe Hayden limited. Justin Lane with an Achilles limited. That's probably why Akella Witherspoon was in the game because Lane started the game in their dime.
I would say Lane played a significant snaps on defense. And has been one of the absolute core special teamers.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like second or third on the team in defense or special team snaps. So that's a bigger deal than you know people might let on.
Devin Bush, full practice participant.
That's great.
T.J. Watt was limited today. So,
But he's out there. Okay.
The guys who did not practice, in addition to Roethlisberger and Johnson, Alex Highsmith, Carlos Davis, and then Eric Ebron got the veteran days off.
Okay.
The day off. The other two guys, Highsmith dealing with a groin, Carlos Davis with a knee. Matt, I'm of the belief.
Positions I want to talk about, but go ahead.
If Deontay Johnson doesn't play, it's not the worst thing in the world because you're taking a toy away.
Almost a crutch.
A crutch to a certain degree. Like when we talked to Roethlisberger.
I don't think you're saying he's a bad player.
No,
out
not
lineup.
At all.
You know, right.
Like Roethlisberger this morning. You know, he was asked about, you know, getting some of the ball to some of these guys. He said, well, you know, I haven't gotten the ball a lot to any of these guys. You know, that's my fault. Well, I'm like, Deontay Johnson's gotten 22 targets in the first two games.
He gets targets every time he's healthy.
Every time he's on the field.
Yeah.
So if you take that away from him, first of all, it forces them.
Well, the defense doesn't know then, too.
Right.
You know, right.
Does it force them.
And he's good, but he's not Jerry Rice.
Right.
Right. I mean, he's not DeAndre Hopkins.
Maybe use the two tight end package more often.
Mm-hmm.
Put Gentry out there as an extra blocker and I mean, run more of a traditional,
I mean, we even brought up Watt yesterday. Well, that might get Watt 5 snaps as opposed to 1. Or,
right.
You know what I mean?
Because
you just don't,
if you're, I get it. If you're Mike Canada and you're looking at this and you're going, well, I can't take Chase Claypool off the field because he's our deep threat.
Sure. I'm not taking Deontay off the field.
I can't take Deontay off the field because he's our target magnet.
Yeah.
I can't take Juju off the field because he's our best blocker and gets us, you know, tough yards. You don't take any of those guys off the field to bring Derek Watt into the game.
Like, I understand Ebron's not a great blocker for the tight end position. We know that. But Harris, Ebron, Freiermuth, Claypool, Juju as your 5, that's a big physical group that can all catch the ball. They can all detach. You can go empty. You know, with all respect to Deontay, who's a really good player, one of those guys might spring Harris for a longer run that Johnson doesn't.
And you're probably going to get a base package.
You probably get a 4-3 or nickel at worst. And if you get nickel, Ebron's going to exploit that or Harris is going to exploit that.
They might actually run the football.
Yeah, I say they might actually run the ball. Yeah, right.
You know?
So I like your idea that maybe a lot of great inventions were happened because of hardship.
Necessity.
Right.
Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention.
So maybe you open up a new leaf in the playbook or a new approach, and then you add him back in as opposed to leaning on him and then, you know, building around him or whatever. And it's not a knock on him at all. A little bit's just his style of play and that he's such a target magnet, and it's a very high number of targets. I mean, compared to the rest of, I mean, he's right at the top of league leaders when he's healthy these last 2 years in targets per game. And it's not an accident. And Ben trusts him, and he's good. But I do like your idea of, hey, I mean, you could throw three tight ends on the field for five snaps. You know, things like that. They're just a little bit different that the Bengals have never seen and your opponents haven't seen.
Yeah, you get a little less predictable, I think, just because, okay, who's – okay, if I'm the Bengals, I'm looking, all right, they just put Ebron and Watt in the huddle. What do we want to do there? Do we want to go nickel against that, or we want to go – you're probably going to go base.
Probably going to go
the
base.
Fullback. Can fullback and a tight end come on the field? You're going to go base.
You're going to go base, right. I mean, yeah, without question. My two questions off the injury report, which true defensive lineman – do you expect to be active then? I mean, Taco Charlton probably won't be in the mix.
He's on the practice squad.
He's on the practice squad, and he's not here.
I think he's more of an edge anyways for this.
He was an odd signing, by the way. I think he's a 4-3 edge, but unless he's up to, like, 285, I mean, is he added weight? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, Hayward's going to be active. Wormley's going to be active.
Bugs.
Bugs will be active.
Bugs will be your nose.
Do you think Loudermilk?
Loudermilk will be active. He was active last week.
Yeah, and Mondo.
Probably Mondo, and we'll see what's happened with Carlos Davis.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably go five.
At least, and, you know.
Yeah.
The nice thing is Mondo and Davis, maybe you don't want to use Davis on special teams this week.
But
you,
they can.
You didn't have him last week.
Right,
but
right.
You have that availability with those guys.
Interesting. I mean, this is kind of like our Bills conversation, too. Cincinnati lives in three receiver sets, too. So you're not going to be in base as much. Five big guys on defense is probably plenty. And then maybe Tua comes back next week.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you play some three defensive linemen with your, like a 3-3, when would that be? A 3-3-5 against this team at times?
Are two of the second threes edge guys?
Yeah.
Not with Bush and Schober both healthy.
Or maybe, well,
if Bush were out, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like Ingram can be one of the, Ingram can play down or up.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I definitely want two of those three edge guys out there, unless Highsmith and Water hurt.
Because the Bengals have shown that, like, Joe Mixon is getting the football. He's gotten 46 carries in the first two games.
And their tight end's a blocker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, so they are a physical, even though it's a three receiver set, they run out of it a lot, and it's not a light
and
finesse.
Boyd doesn't run well.
It's not a greatest show on turf three receiver set by any stretch. I mean, Chase is a big physical guy, Higgins is too. Maybe, but then Bush or Schobert's on the sidelines and Mondu isn't. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe here and there, especially if it's run-down situations where your tendencies show that they run a lot, maybe I'd put an extra big guy out there. But I don't think it's your best 11.
Yeah.
Especially if you only got five drafts, too. I'm not sure that's the week to do it, but... that's a different wrinkle, I suppose. How do you expect, if they don't have Lane and they don't have Hayden, is Pierre and Weatherspoon going to get a lot of snaps?
Hayden was a limited participant today. I would expect him to be ready to go by.
Okay. I mean, losing both those guys would be a bit of a pickle against a heavy three receiver set team.
Yeah, I would expect him to be ready to go on Sunday. Okay. He tried to give it a go on last Sunday.
Yeah.
And then they decided not to. I would expect him to be ready.
Good.
I don't think he reached that.
And to your point about their 11 personnel not being a super finesse speed personnel and their tight end isn't a threat, it's not the same as the Raiders' 11 personnel with Ruggs, Edwards, and Renfro and Waller. You probably aren't going to use much dime this week. So, that extra corner probably doesn't kill you, Lane. I mean, if Lane can't go or if Lane and Hayden can't go, you're not super light there. So, you know, just kind of putting that together. It is one of the advantages of playing this Bengals team is they really only use, like, 12 bodies on offense. Once in a while they bring in a second tight end. Once in a while they bring in a fourth receiver. You might see a different running back than Mixon. But all those instances are unusual. I mean, it's Mixon. It's three really good young receivers. It's the same five linemen. It's Burrow. And it's usually Sample or, you know, the other tight end. You know?
Yeah.
It's not real, you know. You know what personnel groups you're getting a very high percentage of the time. So I think that's useful. And it's also a division foe. So that's useful when you're planning with your injured guys. Yeah. So Watt's really the wild card to me.
You need to get Watt back.
Yeah.
You know, if you get Watt back, it changes everything. There's a reason why they're paying him the money they're going to pay him.
He's a superstar, right. Yeah, right. I mean, it's the same conversation you have with Reggie White or Miles Garrett or, you know, any great player in history. I mean, you don't make up for not having them. There's no question about that.
Particularly in-game. Like, it changes the dynamics of everything.
But even if Hayden were out or Lane or Bush or whoever, we could come up with enough personnel packages to handle this team because they're not going to throw so much at you. But Watt versus no Watt is no good, especially if Heisman's not there.
Right.
We really talk about him. Do you have a feel one way or another on him?
I don't, because that's a new groin injury. Yeah, yeah. You know, we'll see. And honestly,
if Watt plays, I'm not going to.
I don't have a lot of track record there with.
Good point. I know that's a big Tomlin Steeler thing too. Is what if he doesn't practice tomorrow?
He's still a young player.
I mean, not that Jameer Jones is great, but if Watt plays and you're 50-50 on Highsmith, I might sit him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're showing me pretty good on the edge. Yeah.
The key is not staying on the field a long time.
Right. You know, makes no question.
You know, and you should be able to rush the passer against this Bengals team.
I think so.
I mean, Burrow has been sacked once every seven dropbacks this year.
Mm-hmm. And last year was worse.
Yeah.
I'm sure last year
And he's less, like, he's not running this year.
No. He has one carry for 2 yards.
Ben has 4 for 5 yards.
Yeah.
That kind of gives you a little bit of reference. And a couple of those are kneel downs.
Well, sure.
But Ben Roethlisberger in 2 games has more rushing. And so that actually takes yardage off of Roethlisberger's runs.
And people, all right, that's a good point. I mean, it certainly hurts his average. But I mean, people might look at Burrow and just be like, oh, he's a classic pocket passer. He's a good athlete. I mean, he's a, I don't know who to equate him to.
Like his first couple of games last year, people were amazed he was running for touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. I think before he got hurt, he averaged like 15 to 18 yards a game.
Yeah. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but
it is when it's every game,
it's
every
escapability.
Week.
There's
some 25s in there, there's some 10s, there's some 30s. You know, I mean, you do it every week. So, no, he's a good runner that'll hurt you if you turn your back to him. He is not doing that this year, though, at all.
He's kind of stationary. I wonder, you know, is this because of the knee injury? Is he now. Has he been told, hey, just get rid of the football, don't run?
Just an agreement between all of them?
Is this going to be what he's going to be moving forward?
I don't know. You would hope he doesn't lose his mobility to the point where he doesn't use it anymore. But his you know, all that stuff I said about his running, his money's going to be made in the pocket and a decision maker and a distributor, and he does that well. And I think he's looking good as a passer. I actually think his arm looks a little stronger to me.
Except for the 3 interceptions that he threw last week.
Last week was amazing.
Here's the thing. If you look back at those interceptions, the Bears realized that he wants to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And they started jumping some of that short stuff.
They did.
And, you know, so when again, it goes back to our Mac Jones conversation yesterday. When Ben Roethlisberger gets rid of the football quickly and everybody's, well, he's not throwing the ball deep. And he's like, other quarterbacks do this.
I mean, Brady did it for years.
For years.
And won
that's
a lot
how
of,
he,
won a lot of titles. Yeah. I mean,
it's not
necessary in its nutch. I mean, everyone that throws the ball quickly doesn't mean it's a bad situation.
Right.
But you
got
to mix in less predictability.
And you can't turn the ball over in those. Like, if you're going to throw short passes, you can't turn the football over.
And even though Burrow did turn the ball over 3 times, he hit Chase for another deep one. You know, like, they're still dangerous. You
that
start jumping
they have
routes.
That capability, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you still jumping routes. Their receivers are excellent. I don't know that we've talked enough about how good that threesome is.
Yeah,
I mean,
Higgins is, you know, was good last year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's taken that, you know, kind of that next step.
Mm-hmm. He's very well-rounded.
Yeah, you know what Boyd is. And Higgins, they've got a nice, back to your basketball theory. Mm-hmm. All they're missing really is, you know, okay, you got your – you know, I guess you'd say Boyd is the point guard. He's the
– yeah.
He's kind of a Chauncey Billups type point guard where he's not the super fast point guard, but he's a
– he's not the Welker.
Yeah.
But he's a slot.
But he's a slot who can
he's
hurt
He's closer
you.
To Juju than Welker.
Yeah. You know, Higgins is that power forward type. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a bigger body guy, and, you know, your small forward is Chase.
Yeah. And Chase is a really physical player too.
Yeah.
And frankly, I mean, I think he's the most talented of all of them. I know he was in, you know, probably a lot of people just remember, man, looks like the Bengals made a bad pick on Chase. He's dropping balls left and right in practice and in games, and he actually came out and said something, which made him look bad, but he probably was telling the truth. I'm not used to catching a ball that doesn't have a stripe on it. And you're like, I had a hard time picking it up. I'm like, it doesn't sound great. You probably should just keep that to yourself. But no one ever talks about adjusting from the college ball to the pro ball, but it's a big deal. And right now, I think he'd be the rookie of the year after 2 weeks. Him or Mac Jones. And it's a bad group.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made a lot of big plays, and he's very dangerous, well, is my point.
It's two games.
I'm
not going to get carried away. I mean,
all the quarterbacks have struggled, you know, except for Jones.
Pitts hasn't really broken out yet. That's probably going to happen.
Najee hasn't, right.
Javonte Williams and some of the other guys are going to have.
It's two games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's dangerous, though. I mean, he's their most talented guy. Yeah. Higgins is a great talent.
Are they going to trust their ability to do that, to get the ball deep to him against the Steelers?
I think. Again, it goes back to Watt a lot.
Yeah.
You know. But Khalil Mack and those guys aren't a joke either. And Minnesota has some pass rushers.
Well, again, they got to him nine times. Like,
yeah. Do
you want to keep seeing Burrow get hit like that?
It's been his whole career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without question. But their tight end is also a blocker. You know, I mean, they're not going to put five-man routes out when they go deep either. And Mixon's not a bad pass blocker. You know, seven-man protections and try it. I bet they try it.
It's an interesting matchup.
It is.
I'm fascinated by this one. I just the Bengals have played two close games, 2 3-point games. They won one, they lost one. I don't know that they know exactly. Like, you look at the game last week, and they had the Bengal or they had the Bears in a third and long situation with just over 2 minutes left. Justin Fields is in the game.
Yeah,
and His first read was covered. He runs for the first down. Like, who doesn't know that's happening?
Right.
How do you give that up? I know. Against Lamar. You know, like,
and Lamar still does it too.
Yeah.
I mean, we can sit here at a desk and be like, we knew that was coming, but you still got to get him on the ground and catch him. You know, I mean, that's what makes those guys so dangerous. And you still got to honor your assignments. You can't just let your receiver run free thinking he's going to do that. But
I might trust that more though than against a rookie quarterback playing his first NFL game, as opposed to allowing him to just run for the first down.
And break your back, yeah. The Bengals' D is a little better through two games.
Yeah.
It's held up pretty well. They're not allowing a whole lot of points. Neither one of those offenses is a juggernaut. They're healthy. You know, I mean, all the guys they signed last year are playing right now. And so it's not a star-studded D, but it's not like it's been.
I'm going to be interested to see how much the Steelers try to take advantage of Mike Hilton. Like, they know him more or better than any other the Bengal player, even though they play the Bengals twice a year. Like, they know, okay, here's what we can exploit against Mike Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, despite the I'm not throwing dirt on the guy.
No, it's not.
I said this before.
We said that when he was a Steeler.
When he was a Steeler. Right, he's not great in coverage.
He's not great in coverage. And he's little. And those two things aren't changing. He's very little. He's not the fastest guy in the world. He's a very interesting, unique player that's very good near the line of scrimmage. Super physical for his size. We know what a blitzer he is. But I bet if Juju's sitting here, he might be like, man, I love Mike. He's the man. But I'm going to beat him one-on-one.
You know
what I mean? I'm going to out-physical him.
I
mean, I wonder if Juju's screaming in meetings right now, let me run go routes out of the slot when Mike's on me. Or, you know, in breaking routes where I can shield him. Maybe it's a big Juju.
They are blitzing him like the Steelers.
Yeah.
So, knowing... The Steelers should be able to read that better.
You said this
than
a lot
most
in the offseason. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing what you said, but you said something along the lines of, man, I'd really hate if they signed that guy thinking he's an edge defender and not use what he does well.
But he's a cover slot cornerback. That's not what he is.
He's not what he is. Right. They are utilizing his skills well.
But Roethlisberger's probably seen him walk up to the line of scrimmage 1,000 times in practice.
I don't think he's catching this. I mean, the offensive line hasn't, surprisingly, but seven has.
Yeah. And I also wonder, you know, we saw Hilton get hurt last year in a one-on-one situation where he was the first guy to hit Kareem Hunt, and that did not go well for him.
He's going to be the first one to hit Harris a few times, I bet, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a handful.
And
it's a pretty big physical group of, you know, receivers and ball carriers for the Steelers, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of open to the idea, and part of it's because the Raiders' D ended up being better than I thought, that maybe this Bengals' D doesn't stink for the first time in 5 years. You know, it doesn't have big names, but they're playing pretty well in 2 weeks.
We'll see. I mean, the Bears are very limited offensively.
They are, and their quarterback situation's apparent.
But I think shutting down Minnesota. Now, Minnesota had a tumultuous preseason as well.
They did. Maybe and it wasn't their best day.
No, I didn't
Minnesota
think so.
Played a lot better the next week against Arizona.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, the Steelers are at home. Maybe their roster is going to be somewhat limited. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm not letting them off the hook. I mean, I expect them to run the ball well in this game. And if they don't, that's a flag.
And it's troublesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
if they don't take advantage of some of these matchups, it's troublesome.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need seconds and nines anymore. You know what I mean? It's you've played three games together now. This, even if we're talking the defense up a little, it's not a great defense. You're at home. You know each other. You're reasonably healthy on that side of the ball. I expect you to move the football and get first downs. That's not much to ask.
There's also this. Roethlisberger, over the course of his career, when he has some kind of injury, usually goes out and throws for like 300 yards and three touchdown passes and, you know.
Yeah. He's had a little success against the Ohio teams, too, over his career. Yeah.
Now, the Steelers have won 10 of the last 11. The one was last year.
It was last year, right.
In Cincinnati, where the win was wicked in that game. And so the Steelers just couldn't throw the ball deep. The Bengals sat on everything short.
Yeah, that was that Ryan Finley game that was maybe the most forgettable of the year, to be honest with you.
Speaking of running quarterbacks.
Right. Like,
that's all he did.
That's all they could do, and they somehow squeaked out a win in that game. That was one of my hardest losses to swallow last year. I was like, how did you lose that one?
Yeah, for sure.
But you're right about the conditions and, you know, that type of thing.
We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. When we return, it's time for Bob Labriola. We'll do that right after this.
This is Black and Gold Fan Heaven.
Listen to this crowd.
SNR.